Well, the first big presidential debate is now history. What do we make of it, and where are we going?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, did you watch the debate last night, the big presidential debate? Did you watch it? Did it surprise you in any way? Was it what you expected? Did it sway you one direction or another? Was the moderator fair? What about the polls? What about the mainstream media's reaction? What about the person on the street, their reaction? We'll talk about it. 866-348-7884. Is your person Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump? If so, how do you think they did? If you're undecided, how did the debate affect you? Either way, if at all. I've got a bunch of thoughts, a bunch of things to weigh on. This is yours truly, Michael Brown, your voice of moral clarity, moral sanity, and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society and chaos in a church all too often in compromise. And what if Hillary Clinton became the next president? What would that mean for the church? If Donald Trump became the next president, what would that mean for the church? What would these things mean for the nation? Bunch of things to talk about today. And as a debater myself, the missed moments you look at and you think, oh, this should have been said. Oh, this could have been said. That can be a little frustrating. But thankfully we get to weigh in today on the radio. So, again, I'll give you the number, 866-348-7884 is the number to call to get involved in the discussion. I just want to start with, did you watch it? Who do you think won? Did it sway you in either direction? And something I'm wondering about, we look at policies. Trump has pledged to stand for this and this and this. And the Republican Party platform, strongly conservative, key issues, values to me. The Republican Party platform is much more in harmony with my thinking and biblical values, as I see many of the key ones. Yet you have the person. You have the person. And can you separate the person from the position? Should you? Is the person a reason to have concern? 866-348-7884 is that number to call. All right. Where do I want to start? Let me tell you the results of a Twitter poll that I did, and we're still getting results in because it'll poll for 24 hours. And Lester Holt, I asked the question, did he do a fair job of moderating the debate? Again, I'm going to have mainly conservative folks following me on Twitter. This is hardly a scientific poll. 1% said he was pro-Trump. So a handful of votes, if that many. 32% said yes, he was fair. 67% said no, he was pro-Hillary. My own perception, I was not able to watch all of it. I was flying back from Arkansas. Then I watched some on my phone once the plane landed, once I was waiting for luggage. And then as Dylan, my assistant, and I drove back to our respective houses, had the phone on watching and listening. Then I got home and saw some of the other footage with Nancy. And then I've been reading extensively since then through the night and this morning. It is interesting that Lester Holt asked, I believe, 6 follow-up questions to Donald Trump, challenging him, but none to Hillary, which people took exception to, and said now the moderator was the third person in the debate and challenged Trump on certain issues that would be sensitive, but didn't challenge Hillary on other issues that would be sensitive. I think those are fair criticisms, but nonetheless, the debate stands as it stands. What did you think? Going to get your feedback, 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
raging flame. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Did it go how you thought it was going to go?
I think it went better than I ever thought.
Did you feel lost?
Never think in New York.
No, I loved it. I loved it.
Interesting. Now, I read a lot, interacted with a lot of people who were watching the debate. There were folks who were very much pro-Trump that felt a certain way. And my, from what I could tell, again, I didn't get to see all of it because of travel. Basically, it seemed to be a consensus. Donald Trump did well the first half hour, and then thereafter did much more poorly, and that Hillary Clinton was able to effectively bait him. In other words, all she had to do was bring up something that had to do with his personal record, taxes, or something like that. And next thing, rather than staying on point, next thing, rather than saying, hey, here's the issue, and this is what the American people are concerned about and thinking, okay, it's not about me or defending myself. It's a matter of winning this election and getting voters, that he was easily sidetracked. And on both Fox and CNN, when they polled individuals that were undecided, these are these tiny focus groups with like 20 people or something, but apparently carefully chosen for certain purposes, that overwhelmingly, like 17 out of 20 or 16 out of 20, said they were undecided but felt Hillary Clinton did better and were now leaning towards voting for her. In any case, the polls that were then done on major websites and networks, a couple of them you have to discount. The Drudge Report poll, you know, and I posted it a couple days before on Twitter to be silly. I'm going to predict that no matter what happens in the debate, that the Drudge Report poll overwhelmingly says Donald Trump won. And of course, that was the case. When I checked it, it was 90% said Trump won. I may have leveled out at 80 something. But that's just what's going to happen. It is a heavily pro-Trump website. The same with Breitbart.com. These are conservative websites that have very clearly been strongly pro-Trump, to the point that Ben Shapiro, who is a key writer and editor at Breitbart, switched over to Daily Wire. One strong reason being that he felt that Breitbart.com had just thrown itself in with Trump and lost the principles that it was standing for. So that was like 80% said that Trump won. But what's fascinating was that there were other polls on, say, Time.com and CNBC.com that would be known as liberal or very liberal sites that both had Trump winning. And then on AOL.com, another liberal site had Hillary winning, but by a small margin. So this is fascinating as well. Were the perceptions of the masses different? Is it just that the Trump people are voting more online? Very, very interesting to see. Now, again, watching the debate myself, I didn't get to see all of it. The first part I started to see when our plane landed and we had a signal and I put my computer on, my cell phone on, and I could watch a live stream. I was surprised to see Donald Trump interrupting during Hillary's time. I thought, ooh, you don't do that. And maybe she did some, but from what I understand, he interrupted much more. I thought, well, you don't do that. And you never want to provoke a response from someone. You want to have a reasoned reaction. In other words, you never want to be able to get somebody's goat or get them to react a certain way. And it seemed that Hillary Clinton, although her answers may have been clearly thought out in a way that seemed robotic to some, she obviously stayed in control. And yeah, maybe she did stand in front of the mirror or smile a certain way and everyone critiqued it until it looked like a better smile, because you don't want to have like a gloating smile or an evil looking smile or something. That, yeah, on that level, she seemed to do better. And again, look, you don't want to be able to get under anybody's skin. So, I mean, these are big issues, which to me, I didn't see Trump's best part, but to me, those were weaknesses. Now, people say, well, there wasn't as high an expectation. Hillary Clinton's been debating for many, many years and is used to this kind of thing. This was the first, you know, one-on-one for Trump. And yeah, maybe he'll do better. He definitely improved in many ways in the primary debates as they went on. There were moments that we were driving back in the car. So my assistant Dylan and I were driving back in the car, and the issue of cybersecurity comes up, and Hillary Clinton begins to talk about the importance of it and all this, and we're laughing, we're smiling, like he is going to so nail her, he is going to take her apart and say, "You of all people, talking about security, you know, your emails, the private email servers, you know, cell phones that you used and other things that have been smashed." He did mention, you know, her people taking the Fifth Amendment. And obviously, if there wasn't something done wrong or intentional, this wouldn't have happened. And that's a great point. He made that earlier. But we're waiting like, okay, this is the time when you knock it out of the park and make a major, major point that's going to be played over and over and over. Because obviously in a debate, you want to convey the truth. You don't just want to use, you know, showmanship and things like that. But you know, in the midst of it, if you can score a big point that is a truthful point, I don't mean a showmanship point, a truthful point, if you can score a big point at the right moment in the debate, you better believe that that's going to be played over and over and over. And that one moment can really, really have a lasting impact. So, where is this? Yeah, John Zmirak writing over at thestream.org. So a colleague of mine was talking about what Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz might have done in that cybersecurity moment. And he suggests they would have said this: "How dare you, of all people, even mention that? You broke the law, violated the rules, evaded government safeguards, and sent classified materials floating around the internet, which who knows what countries are using to track down our friends and allies and murder them. Your underlings are all hiding behind immunity in the Fifth Amendment, and you barely escape being put in handcuffs and arrested because you intentionally destroyed the evidence. You're the Al Capone of foreign policy, except he got caught in a technicality while you managed to escape. Maybe you had some friends at the Justice Department." Now, I wouldn't have said it exactly like that, but John's exactly right. We were waiting. I mean, Dylan and I, we were driving the car thinking, okay, he's going to do it now, and he didn't. And it wasn't a matter of being nasty. It wasn't a matter of saying things you shouldn't have said, but things that could have been said in the debate. On the flip side, some of the extreme viewpoints of Hillary Clinton were exposed. Some of her radical policies were exposed. And I believe even in positions that she took, they're more race baiting than helpful. And I did feel that Donald Trump showed, yeah, he can know the issues, and he can learn the facts and control these things. And anyway, because I would like him to be elected and to be a president that listens to godly counsel and does good things for America, even if he himself doesn't know the Lord. I'd like to see that happen. I see that as more possible than happening with Hillary. In that sense, I thought he could have done much better. But maybe it played out differently for the general public. So we're going to interact. I've got a bunch more thoughts, but we're going to interact with you. We'll start in Fairfax, Virginia. Colleen, are you there? I tell you what, Howard, let's see if we can get her phone set up properly. Let's go to Boston. Barbara, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Barbara. And Barbara's gone. All right, we go to Tinton Falls, New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Michael Brown and Howard, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Very good. Hillary hammered him. Okay, I mean Trump. You know, he continued to go on with the ridiculous birther thing, and they're trying to blame Clinton. Okay, one of the things that really stings me about Trump is you will never just admit that he's wrong. Okay, I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, join the human race, brother. You know, you know. If you're wrong about Iraq, if you're wrong about a birther thing, if Hillary was wrong about the email server, Hillary was wrong about the Iraq war also, you made a mistake, okay? If he would just admit he made a mistake or something, you know, it would, you know, but he defends these indefensible positions and keeps doubling down on things like he's some omnipotent god of Trump world. And it turns me the heck off.
Mike, do you have a candidate that you were supporting before, or that would have been your ideal candidate?
Well, I disagree with the abortion policies of the Obama and the Clinton administration and gay marriage and so forth. But I mean, I do want a person who can admit they're wrong, and I do want a person who is is not going to go on a 5-year birther run and then trying to blame it on Clinton and not apologize
right.
for trying to delegitimize the president and not have a bunch of friends in neo-Nazi land and KKK land.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, that last statement about a bunch of friends in neo-Nazi and KKK land, is a bit extreme. But let me just say this. In all candor, sir, I fully respect what you're saying in terms of just say, hey, I blew it. I was wrong. I had wrong information, whatever. However, if I've got scales here, okay, the fact that someone stands for the shedding of innocent blood in the womb and for the radical redefinition of marriage, I don't care how wrong the other person is or how many mistakes the other person is, under no circumstances will I vote for the one who advocates the shedding of innocent blood. So if I was undecided whether I could vote for Trump or not, I'd still be undecided. But unless Hillary Clinton renounces those policies, under no circumstances, short of hell freezing over, even then, would I vote for someone who stands for what she stands for.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, so this one article states that Lester Holt claims shilled five times. I think I said six shilled for Hillary Clinton at first debate. Others felt that he was fair and... Yeah, Holt never asked Clinton about her email scandal, about Benghazi, or about the Clinton Foundation and its dubious dealings, but he did ask Trump about his tax returns, arguing, not asking, that there might be questionable information in them that the American public deserved to hear. John Zmirak asked Donald Trump post-debate, why didn't you point out that your tax returns don't affect America's security, did not result in dead Americans, and launch a wave of dangerous Muslim immigrants? Like her amateur hour meddling in Libya. Then you could have reminded Americans how Hillary wants to increase the number of unvettable Muslim immigrants into America, like the Cascade Mall shooter from Turkey who was a Hillary supporter. Instead of thinking about reams of boring tax filings, Americans would have been wondering how many more pressure cooker bombers Hillary wants to resettle in their hometowns. Yeah, again, these are important points that I'm sure Donald Trump's handlers would speak to him about. Did he not know this before? Is this just who he is? These are fair questions. 866-348-7884. In a moment, I want to play a clip for you. We had a great interview, fascinating interview, the first hour yesterday. Many of you heard. It ties in with a special resource offer. I want to make sure you know about it, because as much as we're looking at the natural here, there's a spiritual battle around us. There are spiritual forces at work that we need to consider and understand. But let's go back to what we can see and hear with our physical eyes and ears. The debate, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brooklyn. Winfred, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Doctor. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad I looked at the debate last night. I learned from that debate that Donald Trump is nothing but a racist. And the reason why I say that is because I did not know before that Donald Trump had refused to rent blacks apartment in his buildings. And I found out that last night.
All right. So you're saying that this is not disputed, that Donald Trump would not rent to blacks, and that is known and that's not disputed.
Right.
Got it. All right. Well, we'll tell you what. I don't believe that is known and not disputed, but that. Obviously, hearing that would be very, very substantial. If that is true, Winfred, why do you think he has a growing number of black supporters that are standing with him? Some have spent a lot of time with him and like him and like what he stands for. Why do you think that would be the case?
Well, not that they like him. I mean, the devil has his friend. So it's obvious he would get some blacks who would want to be on his side.
Okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough answer. Hey, I appreciate you calling in and getting straight to the point. And we'll get that exact exchange and what was said and what Donald Trump's response was. 866-34-TRUTH. But thank you, sir. Very clear. Let's go to Woodbridge, Virginia. Mickey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I had a number of comments. I was actually looking at the debate and texting several friends as we were looking at it. Lester, I thought he was trying to, I guess he had to do a lot of follow-up because Trump would kind of babble on and not answer the initial question.
Okay.
So I saw it more as him trying to redirect. He would talk and you still wouldn't understand it. Well, I'm not sure he understood what it was he was really trying to say in terms of answering the question.
That's
the
fair. That's a fair point.
Instead of laying out clear-cut plans and ideas, Trump would attack first, and then he would tell you how he felt about his plan. And he'd say, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. But he never gave the nuts and bolts. Well, he did eventually several times after being redirected. And I don't think if he had been redirected, I don't think we would have gotten that. So like, he wasn't big at laying out what his plans were. He was big at telling you that he had plans.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of short on the nuts and bolts parts of what he wanted to do. He
Got
looked
it.
To me like the best defense was a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a little bit of a loose cannon. We've seen that before. And Lester was trying not to have things deteriorate into a shouting match. So Trump got a lot of extra time, I thought, just because, you know, nobody wanted to get low down and dirty and shout back and forth.
Yeah, I wish at a certain point, Mickey, that the mic would just turn off. Whoever it is, if they keep going over the time limit, it's like, turn the mic off.
That would have been a good thing to do. Trump scares me because his Make America Great Again, I need him to define that. He needs to unpack that for me. Does he mean great as in when we had sexism? Does he mean great when we had sex and racism and Jim Crow? I need to know exactly what that is. And black supporters, I hope you're not counting people like Don King and that pastor that put out false credentials claiming he had graduated from a school that he attended one semester. He said he was.
But aren't they right? Even if Don King, the boxing promoter, is not, you know, the number one icon of a good track record of good business dealings and things, there's still, look, you get white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Jewish, you get people of all stripes. So, but there are different ones. I've heard more on grassroots. But anyway, I understand that you question their credentials. I think everything you're saying is very fair, Mickey. You know, I think you've got fair criticisms and issues.
Okay. I don't think Don King is representative of all black people.
No. I was talking about some. No. Trust me. But look, no one is representative of all anybody, you know.
Okay.
Obviously, right? I mean, I polled people online, and overwhelmingly, African-Americans told me that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton do not speak for them. So, there's different there. Who speaks for all whites? There's no such thing. But Mickey, your comments are very fair, and I appreciate you sharing them. And this is why we're having the discussion. Very fair comments indeed. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, friends, I'm going to keep taking calls for another 90 minutes. So however much time you have on radio, don't worry about it. You can stay online. We're going to continue this discussion, and you can keep listening anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, at thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And while you're there, check out our digital library for any subject you're interested in. You'll be amazed at the free resources we have waiting for you on that website. Joey, grab for me clip number four. Clip number four, I want you to hear what two biblical scholars, Darrell Bach and Gary Breschers, have to say about Michael Heiser's book, The Unseen Realm.
Scholars, because of the rationalistic Western mindset, are detached from talking about these things and tend either not to see them or tend to try and play them down or are not sure what to do with them.
What Unseen Realm does is help people understand that the world of Scripture is a real world, and it can give us a way to bring these together under the rubric of a God who's created a spiritual realm as well as a physical realm.
So what do we make of passages that speak of God sitting in the council of the gods, or God's going to bring judgment on the gods of Egypt, or how do we understand the references to Leviathan and things like that in the Bible? Unseen Realm will really open things up for you. When you order the book from our website, we'll also give you, with that, packaged together, my complete class, 12 hours on angels, demons, and deliverance, biblical and practical. So take advantage of this at thelineoffire.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And I'm just looking at the website politifact.com, responding to the charge that Donald Trump would not rent to minorities or blacks in the past. Is there any truth to it? And according to politifact.com, 1973, Trump as a 27-year-old, so you're talking about over 40 years ago, was president of his father's realty company, Trump Management, and operated nearly 40 apartment buildings, mostly in New York City. By all accounts, including his own, Trump was a hands-on president, very active in managing the day-to-day business operation. That year, the federal government filed a complaint against Trump, his father Fred Trump, and Trump Management. The complaint alleged that the Trumps violated the Fair Housing Act, part of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, by discriminating against tenants and potential tenants based on their race. The defendants, through the actions of their agents and employees, have discriminated against persons because of race in the operation of their apartment building. The complaints read, black people, the government found, were often told the Trump Management complex had no availability when apartments were available for rent. Trump vehemently denied the claims, which he called absolutely ridiculous. According to a 1973 New York Times article, Trump and his company followed a countersuit the following December, claiming the government made baseless charges and asking for $100 million in damages. The court dismissed the countersuit. Trump's campaign did not respond to our request for comment, but he did offer an explanation in the debate. Quote, as far as the lawsuit, yes. When I was very young, I went into my father's company, had a real estate company in Brooklyn and Queens, and we, along with many, many other companies throughout the country, it was a federal lawsuit, were sued. We settled the suit with zero, with no admission of guilt. It was very easy to do. So he says, plain and simple, we weren't guilty. We were falsely charged. And the case was easily settled without a problem. Others have said, yeah, I'm looking at a law professor saying, come on, these suits are normally settled quickly. And it doesn't mean there wasn't lots of evidence. So in any case, is there clear proof that Donald Trump in the past would not rent to minorities? There's a claim. And in any case, he disputes that. But that was what our caller brought up earlier. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Silver Springs, Maryland. Larry, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. I watched the debate yesterday, too. But my question, 2008, when both candidates were for president, Hillary Rodham Clinton and now President Obama, didn't she bring up the birther thing for Obama?
Well, her campaign distances her from that. It was part of what Donald Trump said. Look, it was someone in your campaign that put the information out, and it was Sidney Blumenthal who actively pushed it and tried to get others to look into it. Hillary Clinton herself never made the charge, but Donald Trump's issue was, hey, your campaign started it, and your campaign circulated the picture of him dressed in Muslim garb and in Kenya, or in Indonesia, wherever it would have been, to say, look, the guy was actually a Muslim. So afterwards, they had people from the campaign on CNN saying that we had nothing to do with it. Well, there was someone, just a volunteer, that we fired when we found out, you know, that they were putting this narrative out. There is a former aide named Reggie Love who says that the Hillary campaign did spread the Obama Muslim rumors. And Hillary Clinton did say this, not the birther, but basically she said, well, he says he's not a Muslim, as opposed to, no, of course he's not a Muslim. He says he's not a Muslim. So did the Hillary Clinton campaign, on some level, people close to them, help spread the birther claim that Barack Obama was not born in America? Seems so, although Hillary Clinton herself distanced herself from that. Did they put forth the narrative that he was a Muslim, or has put seeds of doubt for questions? Seems that way. It doesn't justify Donald Trump doing it. It does make it hypocritical, though, if Hillary Clinton accuses him without acknowledging some level of complicity.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Where was Benghazi? Why didn't he bring that up? I mean, he had a chance to on foreign policy. The Clinton emails came up briefly, but he didn't really go there too much. What about the deplorables, the basket of deplorables? We never heard that at all. So some real missed opportunities for Donald Trump from a debate standard performance. Hillary Clinton won from traditional standards. This is not a traditional election. So yeah, who knows?
That was David Brody on CBN weighing in after the debate. The words that I think we all agree on at this point, those last two words, who knows? Now, let me say this plainly. Donald Trump could have gone into a raging fit, punching the air, screaming, using profanity so they had to carry him off the stage, and I would still not vote for Hillary Clinton. Obviously, wouldn't vote for Donald Trump, but I would not vote for Hillary Clinton. There is no choice in my mind to vote for her, under no circumstances. Under no circumstances. And I just want to say this plainly. Even if you would never vote for Donald Trump, even if you want to vote for Gary Johnson or someone else, even if you want to just vote for Senate races or gubernatorial races or local officials or whatever it is, when you have someone who is the most radical pro-abortion candidate in American history, when you have someone who has insulted almost all of Africa by telling African nations, you are going to have to follow and submit to and agree with our gay activist agenda or it's going to hurt you nationally. That, in effect, is what happened. There was outrage among African leaders. When you have someone that radical and with a history of extreme corruption, under no circumstances would that person have my vote. Under no circumstances. So Donald Trump still has to win my vote and convince me to vote for him. But no matter what he did last night, no matter how well she carried herself or how well she knew policies, I don't care if she knows policies well, if they're destructive and ugly policies. And even as I've watched in the recent race riots, what I see her posting is inflaming racial division rather than bringing harmony or reconciliation or justice. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Rita in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I watched the debate. I'm a registered Democrat, and when I vote in November, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. I don't think that Donald Trump, through the campaign, nor last night, has shown himself as presidential. I have trouble with him because he has never been able to say I was wrong. And I think it's very important for a president to be able to listen to all sides and take in information and make a judgment, not just based on how he personally feels. The thing that has me, that's got me very upset is I'm a born-again Christian, and I am really trying to understand how Christians have been able to embrace Donald Trump as the candidate. We talk about abortion, which is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, they say Hillary is crooked and she's horrible, et cetera. But what about Donald Trump's character? What about the fact that he's been married three times? He's been an adulterer. What about his comments about women? I live in Brooklyn. I remember when the Central Park Five were arrested for raping the Central Park jogger. And Donald Trump went after those kids mercilessly. And when DNA evidence proved that they did not rape the Central Park jogger, he didn't even say, I was wrong. There are things about him that just really bother me. He doesn't, as far as I know, he doesn't seem to have any church attendance. As far as I understand, he's never said that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, and yet evangelicals and Christians are embracing him. I do not understand that.
Now,
and
Rita,
I would really like someone to help me understand how we can get comfortable with Donald Trump as the president. He's very thin-skinned. I'm concerned about him taking us into war because he was insulted. And I know that might seem ludicrous, but
No, it's not. It's not ludicrous.
Something
Rita,
so small
you
got under his skin.
Yeah, yeah. Many people feel that way, Rita. And even if it doesn't lead to war, might he make statements that could be inflammatory? Might he meet with world leaders and have crazy reactions or alienate allies? Those are all valid concerns. So let me divide this into two parts, okay?
Yeah.
First, I believe you have valid questions about Donald Trump's character and valid questions about why evangelicals are supporting him. So that's one part, and I'll try to explain why many are, okay? However, you just heard my sentiments expressed strongly that under no circumstances could I vote for Hillary Clinton. The woman has blood on her hands. In the Bible, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. If there was one sin for which he would destroy a nation, it was the sin of shedding the blood of children, the blood of the innocent. And that's what she stands for, radically and militantly, and does it as a professing Methodist Christian. And then, as I said, she has insulted the continent of Africa by pressing, and when she was the Secretary of State and gave a famous speech in Geneva, and I've spoken to friends who have are friends of African leaders, and they've told us the pressure these countries are under. And I have spoken to leaders, political leaders in other countries, and they've told me the pressure America is putting on them to accept gay activism, to have gay activism taught in the schools, to have marriage redefined, that they will lose American funding unless they change their laws and embrace gay activism. And Hillary Clinton is a driving force behind that and could be far more aggressive than President Obama was. She helped lead the way as Secretary of State. So, yes, you have fair concerns about Donald Trump. And the last thing I'm trying to do is convince you to vote for him, because I don't even know that I can. OK, it's the last thing I would try to get you to do. But I would implore you to consider whether you want to pull the lever. And by pulling that lever, you are sentencing babies to death that could have been saved with right people on the Supreme Court and right legislation. That, to me, is more morally abhorrent than Trump's basket list of concerns. And I'm just being candid. Again, your concerns are totally valid about Donald Trump. So let me answer that quickly, and then I'll give you the last word. As far as why evangelicals are supporting Trump, some, it seems to me, Rita, they're supporting him blindly. They're sold somehow that he's going to be the man and he's going to get everything done and he's going to be the champion of religious rights and kind of the new hero to lead the way. And I think they're being naive. I think they're making him into something that he's not. I think they are looking at his private persona, which is humble and gracious, and looking at his family and saying, hey, you know, look at how together his kids and family are and how they love him. And saying, okay, but what about the track record? What about the public person? What about the thin skin? What about what would happen with someone like that as president? So that scares me. There are other evangelicals who say, look, the guy's flawed. He's terribly flawed. He doesn't know the Lord yet, but he's surrounded himself with godly people, and they're helping him draft godly policies. So if he was going to be elected, he would elect strong conservatives to the Supreme Court. That's massive. If he was elected, he'd stand really strongly with Israel. If he was elected, he would really stand for religious liberties in America and would go against the Johnson Amendment that has muzzled Christian leaders from speaking about political issues and things like that. So even though the man is terribly flawed, it seems like God might be using him in an unconventional way by surrounding him with godly people who are helping him make right decisions. But then again,
I understand what you're saying, yeah. And I appreciate your thoughts on that. And from where I guess I'm very cynical, because as a person who doesn't seem to have a church attendance record, you would necessarily have to put yourself in a position to be advised or get in the company of people who are Christian leaders if you are going to sway the Christian vote. I don't have any reason to believe that Donald Trump is going to do any of those things that we as Christians are hoping that he's going to do. And the last thing that I'd like to say is I think that Christians need to get on their knees and pray more fervently for our country and for the choices that will be made for the justices that will be appointed to the Supreme Court, and that our leaders will come back to real Christian values. And
yeah.
That's just all I have to say.
Yeah, Rita, thank you. And thank you for listening graciously to me and responding so calmly when I'm so passionate and strong, as I responded calmly but passionately to you as well. So two last things. Number one, my wife, Nancy, is just as cynical as you are about Mr. Trump. So I face that issue. We discuss it all the time. So I fully understand your cynicism. I urge you again to reconsider sharing in the shedding of innocent blood with Hillary Clinton. And what can we absolutely agree on 100%? We better pray. And no matter who gets elected, we better keep praying. Thank you so much for the call, for your candor.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown. God of birth, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
You know, my heart is very, very deeply, deeply, deeply to see God bless the USA. At the same time, my greater prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come to the USA. In other words, sometimes we hear God bless America and we think make us bigger, better, stronger. The greatest way for God to bless America is to bring us to repentance. There are many wonderful, amazing, incredible things about America. Travel the world, and you'll appreciate a lot about America. But you'll also grieve about the many needs in our nation and the weaknesses in our nation and the sins in our nation. Whoever is elected president, that person will not be the Savior. Do not put your trust in a person to be the Savior. By all means, advocate right principles. Call candidates to stand for right principles. Vote based on biblical values. Vote pragmatically. Vote with your conscience before God. But remember, whoever's elected, that person, that party, they are not the Savior. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Karen in Westchester, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey.
I'm sitting in my car praying, please, please pick me. And you have.
So, here you are. Here you are.
There I am. All right. Listen, I want to address two things, and I'll do it quickly. Number one, I'm addressing to everybody who is African-American and looking at Hillary Clinton as somebody who has experience. I've got to tell you that you need to Google Margaret Sanger, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood. You need to understand that Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist who wanted to control the black population. So if you're looking at Hillary Clinton as not being a racist, I really believe you need to reexamine this, because Donald Trump is not promoting eugenics, okay? He's promoting a change in America to bring us back strong. But if you don't know anything about Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, please, please, I beg you, Google her. She's all over the internet. If you want to, you could liken her to the Kali, K-A-L-I, that was put up as the Planned Parenthood motif on the Empire State Building in 2015. Or was it 2016? I can't remember. But if you don't know about that, Google Kali on the Empire State Building. Read about it. That's number one. Number two, please know that if Mr. Trump is going to be used by God, because God says he can even use the fools to give himself glory, then please pray for Mr. Trump, that Holy Spirit comes into his heart and he gets revived.
Got it. Hey, I appreciate you weighing it. Is there anything that concerns you about Donald Trump?
That he didn't react last night was deeply disappointing. But I've got to tell you that I'm a nurse, and I looked at him, and there was something wrong with his energy level. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he was extremely fatigued. But he looked exhausted.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he was still strolling around talking to people afterwards, which you know, seemed to indicate some energy. Okay, one other question. You're a nurse. All the questions, concerns about Hillary Clinton's health. Again, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor. But if you've got Parkinson's, if you've got MS, if you've got something else going on, neurological, that's serious, could you stand up, be that strong, not show any signs of a problem, you know, for a couple of hours? Is that really feasible? Did that put to rest concerns about her health?
No, it did not put to rest my concerns, because if they give her high doses of steroids, it would decrease any inflammation process that might be going on and give her that zing that she needs.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that she's healthy.
Got it. All right. I appreciate that. And, yeah, someone just shot me a note. Thank you, Karen, for Donald Trump to be revived. He needs to be saved first. Can't bring something to life that hasn't come to life yet. But I want to hear from you. I'm interacting on a few points. Mainly, I want to hear from you. Let's go to John in Manassas, Virginia. Are you there, John?
Yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
Dr. Michael, thanks for your program and having me on. I wanted to kind of go back a little bit and address the fact that I don't believe that Donald Trump is racist. I watched the debates last night, and I think his point about the Democrats, you know, every 4 years coming to the black population and pandering for votes, making promises, and, you know, our inner cities are crumbling. So I thought he had a very good point last night with that.
Got it. All right. So aside from that, do you have concerns about Donald Trump?
You know, what I like about Donald is he, I think he tells the truth. I mean, he doesn't sugarcoat it. It's uncomfortable for him, and I think he's passionate about what he believes in. I think it comes through probably more so than what people are comfortable with. I think, you know, I mean, you know, he's had bankruptcies, but he's come through that. I think our country is very close to being bankrupt right now. If it wasn't for the hard work of the American people, our government is bankrupt. So, you know, I think he's the man to actually bring us up from that. Here is an opportunity for America for once to put in place somebody who's, you know, proven entity and who's not a politician. So, I mean, we have an opportunity to do this. I'd hate for us not to make that happen.
Got it.
He does surround himself with great people. I think Mike, you know, Pence is a great guy. You know, he is a Christian. And, you know, it's like Dr. Dobson said, you know, Donald may not be a Christian, but he has benefited, like a lot of Americans have, from Christian society. So, you know, there is that backdrop.
Got it. Hey, John. I just got to jump in because I'm out of time. But thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for weighing in. And
thanks,
I'm sure there too, you speak for many as well. By the way, a headline at foxnews.com. Check yourself. 2003 video shows Trump, not Holt, right on candidate's Iraq war stance. So Lester Holt, the moderator, pressed him as if Donald Trump was not telling the truth about that. And according to this 2003 video shows Trump, not Holt, right on candidate's Iraq war stance, also about the Central Park Five and the jogger. According to everything I'm reading, the five who confessed never retracted their confession. They were absolutely guilty in an atrocious way, but someone else was the one whose DNA was found on her at the crime scene, but they never retracted their confessions. All right, let truth triumph. My bottom line today, let that be your prayer. May the truth triumph in these elections. Well, the first big presidential debate is now history. What do we make of it, and where are we going?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, did the debate change a lot of minds last night? We had an hour of discussion so far, and I don't know that the answer is yes. It may have confirmed how people felt. For me, there was only one possible persuading that could happen, and that would be Donald Trump persuading me to vote for him. There's nothing Hillary Clinton could have done short of renouncing the Democratic platform, renouncing her past stances on key issues, and becoming a totally different person that would even open the possibility of me voting for her. But I wonder how it affected others. It is interesting that folks have said, look, the early primaries, people would score, Trump didn't do so well, and in polling, people thought he did great. Or maybe they're not looking for the same thing in a traditional debate. Or maybe the fact that Trump did better the first half hour than the rest of the debate plays to his favor, because that's all casual viewers normally watch is the first half hour. We'll get your feedback today, 866-348-7884. And the fact-checking is going on, and then you even have different websites, you know, the liberal, conservative, and the fact-checking comes out in a biased way, so we got to fact-check fairly. We'll do our best to separate myth from fact today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you. And looking forward to flying out to Dallas. Got home from Little Rock, Arkansas last night, flying out to Dallas, Texas tonight, and then doing live broadcasting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from Dallas with a special meet and greet Thursday night at Ministry Gateway Church Wednesday night. Talk to you more about that in a moment, but I want to go straight to the phones, and we'll start in Belmont, North Carolina. Linda, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
First of all, I just want to say you are such a blessing, because you just do the utmost to bring clarity to every issue that you discuss on your program, and you allow every opinion to be voiced, and you address them all with respect, no matter how diverse the opinion might be from yours. So thank you so much for your program. My view about the debate, well, first of all, I don't think any election has ever been won by a debate. Debates don't really do that much to sway the opinions of people who have already made up their mind. And the 18 or 20% that maybe have not made up their mind, a lot of them aren't even watching the debate. So I don't really think it really makes that much difference. As far as the election goes, I believe I've listened to your program throughout this whole process. And I used to scoff at the people who were saying, oh, God is using Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to, you know, and now I believe maybe they've got something, because he, as far as I'm concerned, he should have lost the primary. He was the most unelectable of all the 19 or however many Republican candidates, and he won. Okay. So something is on his side, and I don't know what that something is, but I believe there is a force at work. And, two, the only alternative really that's viable is Hillary, because any third-party candidate doesn't have the backing to win enough of a majority to win the election. So you have only two choices. And as far as I'm concerned, Hillary is evil, evil, evil. And the other thing is, you have to ask yourself, is our country better off now than it was 8 years ago before Barack Obama was elected? And I think the overwhelming answer to that is no. We are more divided. We are less safe. Our economy is crumbling, and our cultural atmosphere is in decline beyond any belief. That if anybody had said 10 years ago we would be at this point in our culture, they would say, no way, that's not going to happen. That's fantasy. But look where we're at. It's horrible. And I believe that, okay, Donald Trump is flawed, flawed, flawed. And I was never on his side. But now it's like we cannot have continue. And Hillary Clinton will continue.
All right, tell you what, Linda, I got to jump in. You said a mouthful. Thank you for getting it all out. Others will respond. And thank you for the kind words.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, if I was rooting for Hillary Clinton last night, I didn't get to see all of the debate because I was traveling back from Arkansas during it and only saw part of it and then read more, then saw clips afterwards. And then Nancy and I talked afterwards and other friends gave me input that had seen the rest. And I've been trying to catch up through the night and the morning. But if I was in her camp, I would have thought she did great. I would have thought she did as well as could be expected. I would have thought that she properly baited Donald Trump and got him to respond and get off track. If I had been in the Donald Trump camp, I would have been concerned that he was so easily baited and got off track, in that sense, thin-skinned. And on the other hand, I didn't get to see his best part, which I was told was the first half hour or so. And I wanted him to do better because I cannot vote for Hillary Clinton under any circumstance. And I want to urge you not to. You say, how can you do that? I'm saying it. I want to urge you not to because she will forward the abortion agenda in America, perhaps like no other president. And with the volatility in the current Supreme Court, could push things in a way that would all but seal Roe v. Wade for decades ahead and could have all types of implications for religious liberties. And if it's judgment on America that God would bring through her, let God bring it as opposed to me voting for it. And you're going to have to explain to your kids and grandkids why you allowed certain doors to be open under your watch, why you participated in the opening of those doors. Nonetheless, I understand the grave concerns about candidate Trump. I understand the reservations. I don't defend him. I share those concerns. And in fact, as much as I am seeking to give him the benefit of the doubt and believe that when he is guaranteed who he would appoint to the Supreme Court, that he means that, and that when he's really said he wants to stand for religious liberties, that he means that. I understand there's reason for cynicism. My wife Nancy is always bringing up just who he is as his character and what that would mean in the White House and what that means for America. And obviously, I wanted him to be more presidential in that respect. On the other hand, that may not be the pulse of many Americans. Many Americans may be looking at it very differently and say, thank God he wasn't just some stiff candidate up there, and thank God he interrupted and did what he needed to do and said what he wanted to say and was just himself, and that's what we want. So again, how this plays out, what the implications are, is a big question. Look, when John F. Kennedy debated Richard Nixon, what made it the debate so compelling in Kennedy's favor was TV optics, that one looked better on TV than the other. If you've got bad makeup and bad lighting that brings shadows and makes you look sinister, and the other person looks better and is more telegenic to start, that influences a lot of people. Sad to say. You think that's going to influence who they vote for president? It did. It did. Not just that, but it did. All right, let's get your take on things. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Boston. Vina, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to just ask or say something, make a comment or maybe ask a question. So I hear you when you say that you can't find it to vote for someone like Hillary Clinton, who is pro-choice and all these things, you know, killing babies and, you know, the marriage and so on and so forth. But at the same time, you say that you can find yourself to vote for Donald Trump, who doesn't really know the Lord. At the same time, he is, you know, I know right now he's surrounding himself as he's running for election. He's been surrounding himself with, you know, people of God, and that's great, and that looks great, and we hope that that's going to rub off and really sink into him. At the same time, so you're hoping that there'll be a change, that he'll be affected by these people of God that he's, you know, rubbing elbows with. You know, that's, you're hoping for that. So why can't you also hope for the same thing for Hillary, who is a believer? So she's professing to be a Christian. She does go to church regularly. At the same time, you know, she is pro-choice, which goes against, you know, what God wants for us. So why can't you vote for someone like her, who, again, she is a believer, although she is exercising rights for people that, you know, are, you know, a real believer of God and practicing in the Word and the Bible would not want to do this. Why can't you vote in your heart to vote for someone like her and, you know, pray that God will use her to help change these things over time, the same way you're thinking about Donald? I mean, you're hoping for this for Donald, but he, not only is he not a believer right now, you're hoping that he becomes one. You're hoping that he'll take on these ideas. Yeah. But not only that, there's these other things about him which people are talking about, you know, in terms of questionable being racist and, you know, how he's alienating people, how he talks bad about people, how he talks to people, you know, especially people in other countries, how he's right now, even as he's going through the election, he's alienating people.
All right, well, tell you what, let me respond.
How can you, you know, I'm just wondering, like, you know, if you think about that, because I have thought about it myself. You know, I like Donald. I'm not going to say that I don't. You know, I normally vote Democratic, okay? And, you know, I've liked Donald, you know, throughout his Celebrity Apprentice and so on and so forth. You know, I find him interesting, and, you know, I do find him honest and so on and so forth. I like his, I like him as a person. At the same time, since he's come out in this situation, putting himself out to, you know, run for president, I do have to look at him differently. I do have to critique him.
No, I understand. Let me respond. Let me respond, because I just got a bunch of callers that I want to get to, and I want to give you the maximum amount of time to express things. So allow me to respond, Vina. First, in terms of reservations about Donald Trump, your questions are 100% valid. 100% valid. I want to make that clear. And in point of fact, I have not yet decided that I can vote for him. He has not yet won my confidence. And my wife, Nancy, says she could not vote for him. So in that sense, part of what you're saying is preaching to the choir right within my own household. Now, in terms of meeting with leaders, his meeting with the president of Mexico was actually a success and very stately. His meeting with the president of Egypt, General al-Sisi, and then Hillary Clinton met with the general. The Egyptian leaders said that they were much more favorable of the meeting with Trump than Hillary. And they both met with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I would dare say that there is more confidence in Netanyahu's heart towards a Trump presidency because of the Republican platform than a Democrat presidency based on their recent history. But let's put all that aside. Why might I vote for Donald Trump, but I could not vote for Hillary Clinton? It's very simple. Hillary Clinton has shown zero openness to changing her position. She is a progressive liberal Christian, which means denying many key fundamental truths, which makes her even more dangerous, part of a Christian expression that is anything but truly Christian. She is diehard, pro-abortion, right up to the last minute before delivery, if need be, abort that baby. Planned Parenthood has never had a better friend. She is militantly pro-gay activist and is putting other nations under pressure, including African nations, to their absolute outrage that she would dare push the American gay agenda on their children and their nations and threaten them with lack of funding unless they comply. She is not open to these other voices. She is showing zero signs whatsoever. So a vote for her is a vote for murdering babies in the womb. A vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote for putting other nations under pressure to submit to radical gay activism or lose their funding and go against their own best judgment and values for their kids and their families. And she is, up to now, a serial liar. From everything I can see, she is, up to now, a serial liar who should have been indicted by the FBI and even lied, as far as I can tell, last night about emails and things like that. So if she was showing an openness, if she was surrounding herself by godly counsel, if she was at least saying the right things, if her party's platform was different, then I could hope for change. But the platform in terms of marriage and family is horrific. Her track record is horrific, and she is diehard committed to following it, and it would be a violation of everything she is and stands for. Why am I open to giving Trump a chance? Because he keeps listening. People are in his face and challenging him and speaking to him truthfully and lovingly, and he's not shutting them out. And he has said that he will appoint conservative justices to the Supreme Court. And he has said that he will go after the Johnson Amendment. And no candidate said that before, a major party candidate. And he has said that he would stand for religious liberty. So even though he doesn't know the Lord from everything we can tell, he's listening to godly counsel. I still have grave concerns about his character and what he would do as president. I'm not denying that, okay? I don't believe he's a racist, by the way, my own view. But in any case, because here, look at it like this. You have one building with a foundation entrenched 100 feet deep. You have the other where they've dug up the foundation and are trying to move it. Which one is more pliable? Right now, it's clear to me there's a far better chance of Donald Trump being pliable than Hillary Clinton. That's why I might vote for him, but can't say that I would.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, beautiful heroes proved in liberation.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Hey, I want to do my best to give everyone a hearing, and I want to speak as candidly as I can. I am not here to defend Donald Trump or endorse Donald Trump. He still has to win my vote. I am here to warn against a vote for Hillary Clinton. That I've been steadfast on for a long time. Look, before Barack Obama was elected, on these very radio stations, I said he will be the most radical pro-abortion, pro-homosexual president in American history. Once he was elected, I said for 8 years, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that God will change him, even in the closing months, and grant him repentance. But sadly, I was right. To take a rocket scientist to know that? No. I just believed what he said. And when he didn't tell the truth as we understand it and said that he stood for marriage as the union of a man and a woman, violating what he had put in writing earlier, saying that he stood for same-sex marriage, and what David Axelrod, his campaign manager, said, yeah, he always stood there, and he was chafing at the bit to get his true feelings out, and he lied in order to get elected because he knew many African-Americans wouldn't vote for him in 2008 if he said overtly that he was for two men or two women, quote, marrying. Didn't take a rocket scientist to know what his positions would be. Well, it doesn't even take an elementary school child who's just learning 2 + 2 = 4 to know where Hillary Clinton will go. Yes, God can do anything and bring radical repentance and salvation, but I am not going to have blood on my hands by voting for her. I would gladly, in a heartbeat, not vote for either presidential candidate, vote for a third-party candidate, vote just for governors, vote for senators and House representatives, vote for local city councils, whatever. In a heartbeat, without the slightest hesitation, I would do that, but not vote for Hillary Clinton. So if I couldn't vote for Donald Trump, doesn't mean I'd vote for Hillary Clinton. No, of course not, under no circumstances. If that alienates some of you, so be it. These are precious issues. These are life and death issues. You say, well, that makes me feel bad. I want you to. I want you to reconsider. Am I trying to talk you into voting for Donald Trump? Nope. Zero. Not at all. Am I trying to urge you not to vote for Hillary Clinton? You bet. And you'll hear it again on this radio show. Just want to let you know. And that to me is out of a burden before the Lord. If I offend you, find out if I offended you personally, or if the truth offended you. And you can talk just as plainly to me as I speak to each of you. That's what we do here on the Line of Fire. Let's go to Berkeley, Massachusetts. Brian, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to point out, I'm in the same, basically, boat as you, pretty much. I mean, I predicted what, like you said, it wasn't rocket scientists, although many people in the church seem to have missed it, what Barack Obama became, what, you know, the gay agenda that he pushed in, and all these other things that, you know, been pretty much he said he was against in the beginning and turned on us. But I want to say this. What I see this election one of the key points is we're dealing with someone like Donald Trump, and I'm not I like Ted Cruz. He was my man for the most part. And but Donald Trump is for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's what I see. And that gives us, as a church, as individuals, our rights to be able for free speech, for to be able to go into the house of worship, but not have to worry about someone like the LGBT coming and crashing our doors in and say, you can't do this anymore. We don't want, you know, hate speech. You're in violation. This is what I've been most afraid of with Obama, and it's happening right before us. And if Hillary gets in, it will go on. She is an elite globalist. She is not for, she'll say she's for America, but she's really for the global community. She's not for the Constitution. The Constitution gives us individual rights. They are not for that. They do not want you to have a gun to be able to protect yourself. And I'm not a violent man. I would love to throw up weapons into and make them into plowing shears like the Bible says, but that day isn't here. But, I mean, she's a globalist. She's for the global community. She's going to do things like the Trans-Pacific Treaty that's going to, as many have said, what's left over in manufacturing from NAFTA will be sucked right out in that Trans-Pacific Treaty. If she loved America, she would not do that. She's going to open those southern borders. She said it in California, and she's going to flood us with immigrants. And if I was an immigrant, I'd come up here, too. I'd want that, too. But as an American citizen, that is going to one, if I'm a black American citizen, how is that going to help me in my job perspectives when now we have, it goes on and on.
I understand. Constitution versus globalism. I think that's a very, very fair contrast. And again, yet another reason that I couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, it's down the list, but it is there. It is major. So I appreciate the perspective, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. I want to give you each as much time to talk, but with respect to the fact that we want to get to as many calls as we can. We go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Reed, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
A couple of things I want to point out, just two quick things. First thing is, one thing that I'm really surprised about is there are a lot of people on this Colin Kaepernick deal that call him unpatriotic, un-American, and that's fine. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but when Donald Trump last night says that he's smart for not paying his federal taxes, you should have that same outrage towards him. He wants to hold the highest office in our land and not pay taxes, and you're worried about Colin Kaepernick's lack of patriotism? And trust me, I'm not voting for Hillary. Not voting for Clinton. I'm sorry, I'm not voting for Trump either. Now, my other issue is, and I hate that they didn't bring up the abortion issue last night, but I have a 7-year-old son. When my wife was pregnant with him, the doctors told us to terminate the pregnancy because they were concerned it would kill my wife. So abortion is really, like, that's my heart, okay? And which is why I can't vote for Hillary. But Donald Trump is not anti-abortion. People understand this. He has made exceptions for it, just like the other Republicans. So in my world, you're either for it or you're against it, 100% regardless. And if you're saying that you make exceptions for it now, well, if you think it's going to get you 10 million more votes next time, you're going to come a little bit further over. So, again, I can't vote for either of them. Don't know that I can vote for Gary Johnson. I may end up writing a Kasich. I think Republicans missed it by getting, I think they fell for sensationalism, because Kasich was the guy for me, and I've never voted for a Republican as a president. I voted on local level Republicans, but not as a president. Yeah. But for me, I was all in on Kasich, and I'm unaffiliated. Technically, I'm unaffiliated, but the abortion, whenever people keep talking, keep going on, Hillary's a baby killer. Trump's not that far behind her.
All right. Hey, listen, Reed, thank you for the comments. Thank you for weighing in. I'm sure many agree with you, and I respect someone who said they can't vote for either. I do respect that. Hey, thanks for the call, sir.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I like to think of it this way. If we had an ancient Israelite sitting with us here in the room, and we asked each other and we asked that fellow, what does this or that passage mean? How do you read it? What goes off in your head when you read these words? His answer is going to be a lot different than what our answer would be, especially when we're in some text that we think is either really strange or odd or just plain weird or even scary because of the supernatural presuppositions behind it. That's what I want readers to get.
I had a fascinating interview yesterday with Dr. Michael Heiser. That was Dr. Heiser speaking just there. If you missed the interview, here's how you get it. 1 hour, fascinating. Folks were contacting me, even staff saying, wow, what an interview. Just fascinating material that we covered together about the unseen realm and even opening up the Hebrew scriptures and the mindset, the worldview back then. So when you get the book, The Unseen Realm, you'll also get the interview for free with it and packaged together my 12-hour teaching series on angels, demons, and deliverance. A real eye-opener. So go to thelineoffire.org to find out more. We've had 90 minutes of great discussion about the debates last night and about the candidates. And right before the last break, I was speaking to Reed in Charlotte. I had to go because we got cut off, and now we welcome many of our new listeners joining us at this part of the hour. And Reed had made the point that he could not vote for Hillary Clinton because of her pro-abortion stance, among other things. But that, and I echo that, and I urge you under no circumstances to vote for her because you are then complicit with the shedding of innocent blood and with real threats to our religious liberties and freedoms that will surely follow because of other policies that she has. However, I fully understand people having grave reservations about voting for Donald Trump. And he has yet to secure my vote, but I am very open to the possibility of it. He has yet to secure my vote. And the debate last night did not help him secure my vote, but it did not put things in the realm of impossible. That being said, Reed rightly said that Donald Trump says that there should be abortion allowed in the case of rape, incest, or the health of the mother. But the Republican Party platform does not include those exceptions. And he has pledged to Ted Cruz as well, that he would elect to the Supreme Court justices in the model, in the mold of Justice Antonin Scalia, and has put out a list, including a close friend of Ted Cruz in the Senate, Mike Lee, as potentials for the Supreme Court, and said that the Heritage Foundation would help him vet people and that it's 100% he's going to go with people on that list. So, Reed, your point is well taken, that Donald Trump seems to have evolved from being pro-choice to pro-life, and that does happen with many people as they go through things in life or as they get older. However, he is not as fully pro-life as, say, a Ted Cruz would have been or a Marco Rubio would have been, no question. On the flip side, the Republican Party platform is very strongly pro-life. Therefore, he has said he will back that platform. Now, again, last thing I'm trying to do is convince anyone to vote for Donald Trump. I am trying to convince you not to vote for Hillary Clinton for moral reasons. This has nothing to do with politics for me. These are righteousness issues. These are moral issues. These are spiritual issues. These issues have to do with our accountability before God and the good of the nation. However, I do understand the concerns. Reed's points were well taken. And the not paying federal taxes, if he says, well, I've helped America in other ways, but if I can avoid paying taxes, look, all of us, we can avoid paying taxes righteously, we do, correct? Not in a cheating way, but if we can pay less taxes and use the money for other things, we do. But if you're going to be the president and you haven't paid much in federal taxes, is that an indictment? Yeah, it's just fair points. All right, I want to talk to James Robison, get his input and get your input as well. So stay right here.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We've had over 90 minutes of lively calls, folks weighing in about the debate and discussing the elections. After the show tonight, I get on the plane and fly down to Dallas, Texas. I cannot wait to be with all of you tomorrow night at Gateway Church. So this is a special equipping meeting for Gateway. And this will be at their campus in Grapevine, their main campus, in South Lake. And I'll be speaking on moral and cultural issues, the call to have hearts of compassion and backbones of steel. And then September 29th at Gateway's Richland Hills campus, that's North Richland Hills, we're doing a special meet and greet, an intimate meeting with our radio listeners. I'll be sharing some inspirational words with you, doing live Q&A. We'll take pictures together, sign books for you. All the info is on my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. I'm coming to Texas to see you, so don't miss these special meetings. It's my joy on Tuesdays, whenever possible, to connect with my dear friend James Robison. And James, thanks again for joining us on The Line of Fire. I'm sure you were focused on the debate last night as someone who has been speaking into Donald Trump's life and is part of key national Christian leaders speaking into his life. What were your thoughts post-debate?
Well, let me say I was interestingly going to open my discussion by saying to people in who have friends in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, be sure and call them. Tell them to go to Gateway Church. We were just there last week for an all-day prayer meeting, and the main hosts were Dr. Tony Evans, Urban Alternative, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, first African-American to graduate with a doctor's degree from Dallas Theological. Also, Sammy Rodriguez, who is the most powerful voice for Hispanics, I believe, in the world. And we just had this meeting at Gateway. Gateway, I think 2 weeks ago, we had 35,000 there on the weekend. We always have way over 30,000. You're going to be speaking there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Gateway in Southlake, Highway 114. Tell everybody in the DFW area, if they care about truth, Dr. Brown can deliver it. Dr. Brown, I will be introducing you tomorrow night. It's my privilege. I ask for the privilege. I actually be coming from a funeral of a very dear friend whose family I basically led to the Lord back in 1980. So it's a very important funeral because of what God did in the life of this family miraculously. But I'll be coming straight from there to introduce you at Gateway. So I hope a lot of your listeners will call their friends in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and say, get to Gateway at 7 o'clock because I know you're going to bless our people. So in light of the debate, it's really obvious. If we continue as a people to elect candidates in any office who support the termination of innocent life, the shedding of innocent blood, which Isaiah 59 and the whole Bible from the Old Testament through the New confirm the value of life, the preciousness of life, and when we as the salt of the earth tolerate the shedding of the blood of the most helpless, innocent human beings on this earth, we have asked for the hedge of God's protection to be removed. We are basically saying, don't even expect you to answer our prayers. And then if we continue to redefine morality, and then if we raise up another form of Pharaoh upon which we teach people to depend for their sustenance and their future and their security, then we have literally said that the true hedge of protection is no longer necessary in America and bring on the consequences of defying nature's God and nature's law. And go ahead and let us see the consequences of rejecting your counsel time and again, God, and really changing truth into a lie. And then as Romans 1, chapter 1 concludes, applauding, cheering, supporting, wholeheartedly approving of those who do these things. And to think that we have candidates running for public office, including the highest office, who have committed themselves to supporting that which God so clearly says is wrong, And then I would say to the church, however needy a candidate may be, and no one would run if they knew every skeleton in their closet or every past failure was going to be broadcast to the world, because some of the greatest characters shaped in the crucible of human failure and learning from our failure. If we're not even going to allow that person or persons who opened the door to truth and the church to go ahead and walk through that door and not slam the door in our own face because we can so easily find fault with somebody, even one another. Michael, I'm praying that the ones who realize the things I just said are so wrong must be avoided and not supported, will at the same time say, let's go through the door as light and salt and truth, and let's see God change people who need to be changed, who are not in fact perfect, but at least they open the door to hear wisdom, which they desperately need to hear. And we won't make it as a nation if we don't receive wisdom and heed wisdom's advice and counsel.
Yeah, you know, I was speaking, sir, to other callers earlier, and someone asked me, well, why would I potentially vote for Donald Trump with the hope that he would do the right thing and not have the same hope for Hillary Clinton? And obviously you pray. If she was elected, we would pray for her and hopefully pray fervently for her. But everything I understand, these are deeply held convictions for many years and the convictions of her party, and she's not surrounding herself with people speaking other things. So we have every reason to believe that candidate is set in motion in a certain direction. And what I've told people, I said, thus far in the show, I said, I'm not trying to convince you to vote for Donald Trump. I am urging you, under no circumstances can you vote for Hillary Clinton. I want to make that clear. Whereas Donald Trump has moderated position in recent years, has embraced the Republican Party platform, and has surrounded himself with people speaking into his life, and then recently reaffirmed his Supreme Court commitment to Ted Cruz privately, and assured him that it would be people on the list. And I know, just because of behind-the-scenes things that you shared with me, that they have reiterated to you, if some rumors circulated, well, maybe this one would be elected to the Supreme Court or nominated, and they're a rank liberal. And they said, no, 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 we are emphatic. This is our list. So we have reason to hope that Donald Trump would do the right thing. Yes, what about his character? What about this, that, volatility, all that? Fair issues, fair questions. But we have reason to hope he would do the right thing, but we'd be sticking our head in the sand to hope that Hillary Clinton would do the right thing.
Well, when somebody's a track record of embracing the very things God exposes as not appropriate and not best, as a matter of fact, damaging to the point of reprobate thinking, well, you can't determine right from wrong, good from evil, light from dark. And when they put that in their platform and support it and wave the banner for it, how do you fathom supporting that? You've got to stand against it. We get one more justice. I mean, we basically say five people can change the direction of freedom and redefine it for every one of us. Well, the truth is one more right now can swing the pendulum that way. And yet we may have people assigned for the next 40 years in that position to totally redefine everything. Mr. Trump has talked privately about the need for a religious freedom rally, a rally for religious freedom. We're losing. If we lose religious freedom, all freedom falls. All freedom fails. I mean, that's basically the end of it. And we just simply, as Christians, must understand that freedom is under assault, and it's even beginning with religious freedom being under assault. I talked to David Green, who was being fined $1 million a day for holding on to his biblical principle, saying, if it costs me my business, if it costs us our fortune, we will not waver. As a matter of fact, he told me he would love to speak at a religious freedom emphasis rally, because we're in the process of losing it. If we lose it, we lose all freedom. And we're actually very close to losing it.
Yeah, and you do not overstate the issues at all. Hey, one last thing. First, I'm honored to know that you're running over from that funeral to be there to introduce me. I'm truly honored. That really means a lot to me. So thank you so much. Real quick, I guess you feel good about what Ted Cruz did endorsing Trump simply based on the principle of forgiveness?
Yes, but what I want him to do, what I want Mr. Trump to do, is to say, you know, I appreciate that, Ted, but even more than your endorsement, I want your wisdom. I'd love to know more clearly how we're violating the Constitution and the consequences of it so we can share that with everybody in America. I want to build relationships. I know for a fact right now Mr. Trump is opening the door, from my opinion, to the greatest minds, the greatest hearts, the people who understand Freedom's Foundation better than anybody on this planet. He wants to hear their voices. And I'm blown away by the desire of his heart to listen to the people I consider, and you would consider, the greatest minds and the greatest hearts on the planet. Mm. Praise God for that. Pray he will hear wisdom clearly.
Amen. Amen. Dear brother, thank you again. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
I look forward to seeing you.
God bless you.
The Gateway.
Yes.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Want to get to a few more calls. Before I do, interestingly, Michael Moore, who is as left-wing liberal as anybody in America, or not anybody, but I mean quite left-wing liberal, he claims that Trump won the debate last night. Interesting. He got on social media tweeting to Clinton supporters to stop dancing in the end zone during the debate last night since Trump was going to win. He told his fellow liberal comrades they better get used to a Trump win. Also said that now is the time to do something to try to stop him from winning the election. This is interesting, coming from Michael Moore. This is a town hall, Matt Vespa reporting. Then there's another article on townhall.com by Guy Benson. Overnight polls, debate viewers give Hillary Clinton the clear win. So yeah, there's a poll on Time and some other places that gave Trump the win that seemed to be more left-wing websites than, say, a Drudge and Breitbart that overwhelmingly gave Trump the win. But you knew that was going to happen anyway because that's just the way they're going to vote. But a lot of undecideds and independents said that Hillary Clinton won. And again, we'll see how these played out. It was just one debate. We do understand that. But I actually was invited to a small meeting with certain key leaders from certain backgrounds who were not yet in support of Donald Trump to meet with him this week to discuss some key issues, but just unable to attend because I'll be down in Texas. Otherwise, I would have been there. It would have been a privilege to be there. Why is he meeting? Well, he wants to hear what we have to say and speak to us in a way that would move us to potentially vote for him. All right, let's go to the phones in Richmond, Virginia. Ralph, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Well, thank you. How you doing, Michael Brown?
Very well, thanks.
Brown, you okay?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Okay. I listened to the debate last night, and it really don't show anything either way as far as the United States and the government is concerned, because the government worked for the United States, people in the United States. Now, you won't talk about Trump. Trump has all these businesses, and yet he brings people from other countries to do his work here when people in America need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he says things, it sounds good and all. I have nothing against nobody, because when I read the Bible, that God only made two people. He made Adam and then he made Eve. Now, Eve, in the Bible says, is the mother of all living, regardless of what color you are, you was born from Eve.
Yes, sir.
Do that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So here we are, and I saw my own father. Here we are in America, and we can't look up for our own country. The one that the people that were slaves and did work for the people in the garden invented things, made things better, and they don't nobody want to give them and their children what they deserve for being in America. They take it and give it to the other people, come to our countries, pay no tax for that business. None. They
yeah.
bring people from, huh?
Yeah, these are, hey, Ralph, these are certainly concerns that others have had. And, you know, talk about people working for Donald Trump's hotels and or resorts right. in Florida, and they're immigrants getting jobs, not Americans, etc.
But they're These not are, getting. I don't have nothing against none of them.
No. I understand. I fully understand. It's just it would seem to be a contradiction in his position or the pro-American. Hey, Ralph. First, I love your spirit. I love your spirit. This is not about color. This is not about political party. So I love that. And I was thinking that just I was in some multiracial meetings and sitting next to a brother, turns out to be a Christian man, black brother, as we were flying down to Arkansas on Saturday. I'm thinking, man, why is there strife? We are all the same. We're all the same family. We have diversity and differences, but we're the same family, same blood, same human race. So it's so grievous to see. And I'm not blaming it. I'm just saying that we've got to come together seriously and just not let the enemy win, the enemy of our souls, Satan. But yeah, Ralph, you raise points that many others raise. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you for your spirit above all. All right, let's go to Bob in Midland, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I wanted to tell you that I very much enjoyed your article about why you would not vote for Hillary. I had answered that myself, and I left it a similar article myself, why I could never vote for Hillary as a Christian. My wife and I went to a black church last Friday, and we were amazed by the enthusiasm that church had. We're planning to go back to that church this coming Sunday. I wonder very greatly, how do people justify being a Christian and saying that they would vote for Hillary?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah. Just to say this, I've had folks say that they have to vote. Their vote is important, and they can't vote for Trump. And whoever is elected, we had Reagan in, we had Bush in. That didn't affect abortion. There are other policies that are important. Democrats are better on the poor. Democrats are not going to lose lives in war as much, etc. So it's a matter of whose blood is shed. And you know, abortion is not going to be changed by government. It's going to be changed by the people. But I concur with you, Bob. Under no circumstances can I press the button, pull the lever, fill out the form to vote for someone who would appoint justices that would support the shedding of innocent blood, who would appoint justices that would support the radical redefinition of marriage, who would support justices who would undercut religious liberties, and that would be Hillary Clinton. So again, Donald Trump could be the worst candidate of all time, and I wouldn't vote for him, but I wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. You say, we have to vote. No, vote for someone else then, or vote for the governor, vote for the Senate and House and those things. Hey, Bob, thanks for coming in, and I'm so glad you got to experience a different culture of worship. Yeah, hands down for me, just generally speaking, I don't want to offend anybody, but if I could preach and turned on black gospel church compared to a turned on white gospel church, given the turned on black gospel church, I mean, there's just more feedback in life, and I just like that culture. But I preach everywhere around the world and love the whole body. But I just share that. I would get a kick out of it sometimes of being a big white church and people are listening, and they're listening, but there's no reaction. And I'll be preaching a black church, and it's just more the culture, the response. It's kind of a cute thing. We often laugh about it, preaching and ministry. But thank God for the whole body, and thank God for the diversity of the body. Hey, friends, I'm so sorry some of you hung on, but we are out of time. I tried to get to as many calls and give folks an opportunity to connect. But we'll keep talking about these things. Feel free to call in the coming days, and we'll continue to discuss the elections and find out about the unseen realm. Go to my website, thelineoffire.org. Check on the resource offer. And tomorrow night, everybody, join me at Gateway for a special equipping service. My bottom line today, let's humble ourselves before God and say, God, all we want is your will. Nothing more, nothing less.